Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
The 2014 Sundance Film Festival will be taking place from January 16th through January 26th in Park City, Salt Lake City, Ogden, and at the Sundance Resort. Individual tickets are now available to Utah locals. Visit sundance.org/festival/locals.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine, located in beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this December episode, we talk to snowboarder Cam Pierce, we talk to the good people behind the Mike Masters Alliance, and we talk to the folks who opened up the Kid Labs down in Sandy, Utah. You wouldn't normally consider North Carolina the kind of place that would spawn a world-class snowboarder, but that's exactly what happened with Cam Pierce, who got his start at little tiny resorts back east, and then his dad built him some rails of his own so he could practice. Once he turned 18, he got a job working with the crew at Brighton here in Salt Lake City, and he's remained here ever since. Since turning pro, he's become part of the Endeavor Snowboards team and the 686 crew, among others, and competed across the nation and internationally for more than 5 years now. Slug writer Jamie Stott chatted with Cam Pierce about his career to date.
Did you always want to be a professional snowboarder?
Ever since I started snowboarding, I guess, I figured it would be cool to do, but I never really thought I would end up being a professional snowboarder. It just kind of played itself out that way. So, I mean, I always wanted to, it was always there, the dream and everything, but I never really thought it would actually happen, but stoked it did.
From when you started snowboarding, how did you make that transition, you know, from regular guy on the slopes into the professional scene?
I mean, it just meant that I was going to be doing it a lot more, you know, year round and staying busy and trying to stay on top of like progressing and being better and stuff like that. So, which I already like doing anyway. I like to push myself and make sure I'm staying on top of my own game. So just made sure I did that.
So did someone solicit you, like come forward and say, hey, we want to sponsor you, or were you?
Yeah, basically I was like, I mean, I was just kind of hanging around Brighton. I moved to Utah and I was riding to Brighton, working on park crew there, and just tried to stay in videos and stuff. And Forum at the time, it was like 2007, approached me and asked if I wanted to ride for them. And of course I said yes. I mean,
who doesn't want to ride for Forum?
I want to be sponsored at snowboarding anyway, so. Yeah, that's how it worked, really.
And then it kind of just snowballed from there.
Yeah, stemmed from that.
Now that you are a professional snowboarder, is there pressure to go bigger and better now that you're on top to sort of keep those big name sponsorships?
Yeah, you definitely have to do that just because there's always going to be new kids and there's always going to be bigger and better opportunities, you know. And like I said, you're going to make sure you're pushing yourself and just keeping up with everyone. Like, everybody's getting better all the time. You watch your friends progress and you want to be at the same level as them and make sure you're on top of your game. So yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of pressure, but it's not as bad as you would think, you know. You just kind of do it naturally.
So even when you go snowboarding with your friends for fun, you're still out there trying to,
I mean, it's always like a little friendly competition between your friends riding, but I mean, we're friends and we're just stoked to see each other get better. So
how would you describe your snowboarding style?
Snowboard without thinking too hard about it, really. I don't really like to categorize myself. I just go out there and do what I do and try and have fun doing it, and if it looks good and people are stoked, then I'm stoked too.
Are there certain things that you get into at a time? Like, are you know, like maybe is there, you're obsessed with rails or you're obsessed with hitting a certain trick on the jumps, or it's just sort of whatever you're feeling at
the
moment?
Yeah, it's whatever I'm feeling at the time. I mean, I like to do it all. I love to go, you know, ride pow on a good snow day, and I like to ride the park too, or, you know, film in the streets. Just do it all, and if I'm having a good time, then I'm happy.
How would you say that you stand out from other riders? Like, what makes you different or special? Or
yeah, I don't know. I don't try and like be signature, have a signature or anything really. I just try and stay well-rounded. Hopefully, I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what keeps me separated, is like a lot of people will be kind of, you know, drawn to one aspect of snowboarding, whether they just hit rails or they just ride pipe or they just do this or that. You know, I try and make sure I dabble in all of it and I'm like somewhat decent and staying on top.
Well, you have to be one of the only professional snowboarders who makes their own moonshine, right?
There you go. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that keeps me separated.
you go to your business meetings with jars of shine.
Jars of moonshine and homebrew beer. So
being in the industry and knowing what you know, what kind of advice would you give to these young kids or up-and-coming riders who want to become a professional snowboarder?
You got to stay busy and, like, I don't know, you got to make sure you're flooding the market, because the way, you know, how internet is kind of just taking over the game with, like, instead of DVD sales, they're declining, and snowboarding is just going more viral, and you just want to make sure they're riding all the time and stuff and have fun and do the kind of snowboarding you want to do, because you don't want to ever have anybody tell you what kind of riding to do. Like, I feel like I went through that where there was a couple years that I had people telling me that I was this kind of rider and I needed to be doing this kind of snowboarding because that was how they wanted to market me and stuff. And it was, after looking back on it, I was like, wow, I could have just, like, been doing what I like to do, you know, instead of having these people tell me how I want to ride. So only advice is make sure you're doing the kind of riding you want, because if you look back on it, you're going to be bummed once you're just like, I should have been doing what I wanted the whole time and make sure I was having fun. So
do you find that now that you're doing the type of riding that you wanted to be doing, that you're better at it, sort of like it's what you want to do and you're excelling more versus trying to be something that someone wants?
I'm not necessarily like, I mean, yeah, I'm always trying to get better, but I'm just trying it all now. Like, I was, like, before when I was just strictly hitting rails and, like, filming in the streets and stuff, well, I would have loved to have been out there riding powder and hitting jumps with, like, the dudes that did that on a regular basis. And now that I can do that, it's just, I find that, like, now I'm dipping my hand in every single part of snowboarding. So it's, like, I don't know, really cool to do that and make sure I'm riding all, doing the kind of snowboarding I want to do.
So you recently dropped your 2013 full part video on Transworld. Do you have any other film projects on the docket or coming up?
That I'm trying to figure out right now. I mean, it's still early in the season, so I'm just kind of talking to as many people as I can and trying to find the right spot for me to be able to go and, you know, go out with. Just kind of, it helps whenever there's a film crew in Salt Lake, so I can stay here mostly, but I'm definitely going to be traveling a bunch and working on it right now, talking to as many people as I can, and hopefully in the next couple weeks I have a definite answer for who I'm going to be filming for, but right now it's kind of undecided.
Any places that your fingers are crossed hoping you get to go ride this year?
Anytime I get to travel, I'm happy. So I'd like to be able to go to Europe. I'm going to spend time in Canada, and I think I'm going to China and maybe South Korea this year too. So hopefully that happens.
Sounds like a busy winter.
Yeah.
Well, if you need someone to cart around your snowboard bag, I'm available.
You can just come around and interview me the whole time.
Yeah.
So how was your day in China?
It's still early in the season, but what kind of trends do you think we'll be seeing a lot of? You know, I mean, like, in years past, we've seen, like, a lot of hand plants and all sorts of stuff like that. What do you think we're going to be seeing this year?
Who knows? I mean, it's Olympic gear, so there's probably going to be some triple corks going down or something. I don't know.
Something crazy.
Yeah, who knows? Something crazy is going to be happening, but kids are wearing crazy things these days. I feel like I'm getting older and just, like, I look at kids' clothing styles and what they're doing, and I'm just thinking, I'm, like, old and cynical now. I'm like, what are these kids thinking?
Give me an example. What's, like, something ridiculous that you've seen?
Who knows? I mean, it's just, like, back in the day when there was tall tees and headbands and stuff like that, there's, like, always going to be something kind of crazy, and who knows? I mean,
matching plaid onesies.
Yeah, you're going to see some crazy stuff no matter what, so there's going to be some trends.
Pierce currently doesn't have his own website, but to check out videos of his career and check out some other interviews, look him up at snowboarding.transworld.net.
All the horses corral, though. Tony's on the prowl, though.
The Rot Musicians are a three-piece nerd rap group from right here in Salt Lake City, consisting of Mark Dago, Daniel Fisher, and DJ Shanty, and they've been around almost 10 years now. They originally formed in 2004. Since 2005, they've released a couple of full-length albums, an EP, and several singles, most recently one called I Miss Bob Ross, an homage of sorts to the late PBS painting teacher. The group released their third full-length album just a few weeks ago. This is a song called Eggshells off of that new album called Rot Musicians Are Escape Zoo Animals.
All I had I've thrown away, I've missed out in every way. Surely I was born on a rotten day. Surely I was born on a rotten day.
All right, y'all. delay party, egg party, hatch party, we're born!
Helter Skelter, Skeletor, Spectre, like glass to a skeleton, Frankenstein, Selector, sewn together, piece by patch with pain and pleasure, body rock and orthodox, answer sketcher, delay party, egg party, hatch party, we're born!
I'm a Robin Gibbons, worms to my babe, birds are singing, and that's how we live in life. Side goats get wrapped with ribbon at a lay party, egg party, hatch party, we're born!
Schedule it behind you, memorize ya, split paradigm design with rhythm and rhyme, and I'm just the time to come back alive and raise it up one more lifetime, make it like mine. Lay party, egg party, hatch party, we're born!
Microbes and Michelobes, umbrella holes, towel throws, sex on the beach, sweet lord of seashells, trying not to swish shells in between your toes or under feet. Lay party, egg party, hatch party, we're born!
A panic and name, feeling trapped by the game, break out of my shell, it's like yolk in the drain. Fame and infamy, don't care either way, it's all the rage for art to imitate. Lay party, egg party, hatch party, we're born! Go Python, it's your birthday. Go ostrich, it's your birthday. Go ducks and geese, it's your birthday. Go turtle dove, it's your birthday.
Daddy long legs, it's your birthday.
Go platypus, it's your birthday. Go mollusk, it's your birthday. Go fishes, go.
To download the album, check them out at rottenmusicians.bandcamp.com. And for more information on the group, check them out at facebook.com/rottenmusicians. MC battles are one of the basic building blocks of any hip-hop scene, and Salt Lake City has one, thanks to the Mic Masters Alliance. The Alliance originally formed in September of 2011 as a way for local and regional hip-hoppers to have fun and competitive battles and expose much of the rest of the music community to the genre. Since starting, the group has put on monthly showcases for both all ages and 21 and over crowds, drawing some pretty big crowds in the process. Slug writer Darcy Russell chatted on the phone with founder Nate Chacon about the group.
I want to start off with the history of Mic Masters Alliance, so if you can kind of tell me a little bit about that.
At the beginning of 2011, February 2011, I released a mixtape, and I got, you know, pretty good reviews from my peers and what have you. I've been making music myself since 2005. At that time, I was just, like, going through some personal things, and by September, like, August time frame, I was just burnt out on hip-hop. I was just like, ugh, I don't, I'm on my couch. I'm on my couch, and I'm having a... just having a just a regular rough day or whatever, and I've been going to work or whatever the case. I'm laying on my couch and I'm watching a YouTube video of the CEO of Grindtime, Matt Ill. He's doing a promotional video for an upcoming event that they were doing out in California. At the end of it, he said, "If you want to be in any, if you would like to try your hand being in a Grindtime battle," and I was like, "Whatever, I'm just gonna hit him up." Yeah, sure, I would like to battle, you know, myself. I was like, he contacted me back and said, "You're from Utah, that's cool. We have a division out in Northern California and Southern California called Assault and Battling that, you know, for tryouts." And I'm reading this and I'm like, what? This is really happening right now? He didn't hit me back, like, within 10 minutes. And I'm sitting here looking at my phone, I'm like, what is this? Is this really happening? And he's like, "Cool, I'm glad that you're interested. Can I give you a call a little bit later so we can discuss details on when our next event is?" "Cool, yeah, sure, give me a call a little later." So he calls later that evening. Him and I were speaking about a battle that was going to happen in LA. He's like, "Well, hey, I got a weird question. Let me call you back tomorrow. I'm going to be on a conference call with a bunch of my guys from other regions." He ran Assault and Battling in a couple different states. So he calls me the next day, and I answer the phone, and it's just a bunch of these dudes talking. Because I just entered the conference call, you know? And then he's like, "Nate, are you there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm right here." And he's like, "Okay, so check this out. I got synchronized on the phone with me, the head of AMB Utah, Assault and Battling Utah." Mind you, him and I had not even discussed anything of that sort. Like, I didn't even know, you know, like... he just donned it on me, literally just like, "There you go. You obviously seem like you have some, like, a go-getter attitude, so on and so forth, and you seem pretty self-motivated. And, I mean, you hit up Grindtime. Nobody else in your state hit up Grindtime. I want to come out there and do an event, but it would be Assault and Battling. And, you know, we can have tryouts." After that conversation, boom, we had our first event September 1st, something like that. 2011. It was a hit. We did it at Five Monkeys. I had like 9 battles on that card. There were so many battles. And that's when it just clicked for me that, you know what, I guess this is what I'm going to do now. And so, because like I said, I'm an artist primarily. I mean, like I rap, I make hip hop music. That's what I do. But when after that first event, I was like, you know what, I kind of like this shit. So we went off on that.
Now, is it mostly prepared battles or freestyle, or do you do a mix of both?
Primarily prepared. Find out who your opponent is, and then you go to work. Now, in some people's cases, they still do incorporate freestyling for sure. There's a lot of guys that are. There's just talented kids out there, you know, they're just like good kids, you know, and people will do what's called like a rebuttal. I made it sound like it's something so complicated. It's just that, so I go my first round and I do, you know, my prepared material, and then like I'm battling you per se. Yeah, it's your turn. And then you like, you listen to my verse and you're like, oh, my mom was at this, blah, 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 and then you hit him with a rebuttal, and then you go into your verse. So yeah. So it's primarily pre-written, but there is freestyle incorporated in some parts.
And what are some of the battle rules?
No, it's a 3 rounds, 60 seconds, 2 minutes per round. It just depends on what the two want to agree on. Some people do just like 1 round unlimited, and they'll just like rap for like 7 minutes, like just keep going. Just depends on what the battlers want.
Okay.
But the basic format is 3 rounds, 60 seconds.
What is the turnout typically?
Well, I would say about 75 to 150. Like, we have an event this Saturday, and I don't know if we're going to get everyone in that little building. I anticipate having about like 160, 180 people there.
Okay. What else do you have coming up for events?
Every first Friday of the month, we do a draft, and that's our tryout for kids who want to get onto the bigger. So that's every first Friday, and we hold those at a Brock. Every single first Friday. And then we're planning an event in February called Mountain West Showdown 6, and we're going to be working with King of the Dot, which is arguably the best, the number one battle league in the world right now, next to like URL maybe. But, and I'm sure I'm saying names that you have no idea what I'm talking about, but we're going to be working with King of the Dot exclusively for that event in February, late February.
For more information on the Alliance, including checking out some upcoming shows and how to get involved yourself, visit them online at facebook.com/MikeMasters801. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting on Christmas Eve, December 24th, and stretching until almost New Year's Eve, December 30th. As always, I encourage you to go to slugmag.com, check out those daily listings. There's always some great stuff being popped in there every day of the week. You'll find something up your alley just like I always do. Hey, let's start with Christmas Day. Hang out with your friends, hang out with your family, and there's bars open. I can vouch for that. I've gone to many a bar in Salt Lake City on Christmas Day, so don't ignore your bartenders, and be sure to tip your bartenders and your waitresses that are working on the holidays. On Thursday, December 26th, Mark Chaney and the Garage Jazz All-Stars are playing at, yes, the Garage. This is a regular feature out there. I'm expecting it to happen like it always does on the day after Christmas. If you like a little jazz, a little mellow place to get a burger, the Garage is a great place on a Thursday night. Friday, the 27th of December, oddly, Mannheim Steamroller, that really cheesy Christmas music band, is coming to do shows at Abravanel Hall after Christmas has already happened. I'm sure some of your parents would like to go see them, so maybe check that out. If you're into a little younger fare, Funkin' Gonzo at the Woodshed that night. And then Tony Holiday is bringing some of his classic blues sound to the Green Pig Pub. On Saturday, the 28th of December, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, those guys who do that swing oh so well, they're playing at the Eccles Center for Performing Arts up in Park City, a nice chance for a getaway. And if you want to stay closer to home, I highly recommend the Eagle Twin Show playing at Urban Lounge that night. That should be a great time. On Sunday, the 29th of December, Leftover Salmon, sort of jam bandy bluegrass cats from Colorado, they're headlining up at Park City Live. And then on Monday, the 30th of December, Elephant Revival and the Shook Twins start a two-night stand at the Stateroom. So if you like a little bit of your jam band fever going on, that's a good night to get it started. It's the night before all the amateurs get out on the town for New Year's Eve. Also on that Monday, December 30th, it's the Salt City Poetry Slam at Weller Bookworks. As always, go to slugmag.com, check out the daily calendar. You can put your own events in there for free. For a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality links to your content. Ben Q Best and Carl Jorgensen are a pair of electronica producers from down Utah County way. Both of them have released works on their own, Jorgensen more famously under his main experimental project, OK Akumi, and Best often working with other producers like the Salt Lake City-based musician Moonlitz. Best and Jorgensen originally collaborated back in 2012 for a self-titled split EP, releasing it on Jorgensen's label. The two enjoyed the experience so much they decided to release a new batch where they actually worked together collaborating on songs. This is a song called End Dream from their second self-titled EP. To download the album for a mere $5, visit them online at hellaudio.bandcamp.com. And for more information on the label, check them out at hellaudio.org. The Kid Labs is a privately owned community center based down in Sandy, Utah, the south end of the Salt Lake Valley. It's made up of two spaces, one centered around kids, the other geared towards adults, and provides space for after-school programs, classes, various community events, and other things. It's been decorated in graffiti art from nearly a dozen artists from the Salt Lake area and received donations of all sorts from folks like the Legacy Initiative, Beautiful Being, Hero Inc., and the Rad Youth Council, to name just a few. Slug writer Brindley Froelich sat down with founder John Hansen to talk about the program.
Do you want to just start by kind of introducing where the idea came from and where it's at right now?
Yeah. I became a dad, what, 4 years ago in April, and I think like lots of new dads, I was totally unprepared. In fact, I was a little bit upset that I'd lost some semblance of my youth and had to grow up a little bit. But, you know, I kind of fell in love with my kid real quick. I was kind of faced, like a lot of individuals, with kind of a marriage that fell apart, and that was kind of a choice we made to kind of separate, and I found myself selling the company that I owned, dividing it up with my ex-wife, and she kind of had an opportunity to take a break. She went back to work, though, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do next in my life, so I gave myself a break. I'm not a rich guy, I didn't sell for a lot of money, but I had an opportunity to hang out for the first time in a long time at home in Utah, and with this kid, this three-year-old that I totally loved. Basically started putting my energy, my business sense into like experiences with learning with him. My son's really been a really important fixture. In the last year and a half, I basically took off work, but I was really actively problem solving. I started doing activities with him, and that turned into doing activities for other kids. That turned into seeing how hard it is for single parents out there that struggle, and how absent good father figures and good mentors there are. There's great school teachers, and you know, our education system's suffering in some ways that are unique. In Utah, we're the third lowest in the United States for money per pupil. And I started watching these little kids that oftentimes in a divorced scenario, they basically hang out and watch a lot of TV. Sometimes they get to hang out with dad, and those usually turn into activities rather than opportunities to engage and teach your children. So the more that I was kind of experiencing kids, the more that I wanted to make a difference. I created, in essence, like my dream job, which is I could be with my kid and focus on project-based education and help kids launch into whatever their dreams were. So we started Kid Labs.
So has it opened yet?
We've been constructing for about 4 months. I basically thought that I could find a property that was defunct and renovate it, give it back to community in a community kid center that we called Kid Labs. We took on a project that was given to us by Perry Homes. They own a commercial property that's in Sandy, and that Sandy property, I was a pipe welder for 20 years. So I kind of approached them and asked them if they would hook us up with a sponsorship and cheap rent, and me and a whole bunch of single dads and some partners in the community kind of went to town and renovated this 3,800 square feet location into kind of an art center for kids.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So what kind of activities are you going to have?
One of the things that I want to do is make a difference in the community. And so we're going to do donation-based kid care on Wednesdays and Fridays for single parents. We can have up to 250 kids in the center. We've got it in different rooms. There's two rooms. There's one that we call this Imaginarium. It's been painted by graffiti artists for about 2 months. Superhero themes, beautiful art, murals everywhere, and every person that comes in there, they draw up their jaw, and you know, it's a room where you can believe. It's really cool. So in that room, we want to do very unique things around expression, around imagination, around finding your voice. So I find that kids nowadays, they don't get to try many things out. Art's one of them. So to be able to allow kids to try all forms of art, all forms of music, all forms of dance, we want to teach a little bit of everything and let their kids find what I call their superhero power. So yesterday we did a fun experiment. We had a whole bunch of kids come for our first superhero university segment. So we had about 35 kids. A lot of them were from a single parent home. And we had an actor, we had a Krav Maga expert, we had a breakdance person and a positive rapper named Tommy B that came, and as a community, they put on a little two-hour event for these kids, all dressed up as superheroes.
Awesome.
So it was really fun. So those kind of events, like, you know, I built things for my son that he could engage with other kids and play. And ultimately, when they're doing project-based learning together around imagination and creation, that's where you have kids that accelerate, kind of find their path.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little bit different than sometimes we tell them as adults.
How has this project been received within your own community and then the community at large that you're working in?
We're just barely letting, we're just barely getting some news attention.
Mm-hmm.
I've been quiet with the whole project up till now. We haven't really even done much advertising. What we've wanted to do is we've had several community events, like we had a positive rapper named Tommy B come and do a concert for a bunch of his family and friends, just to test out the place.
Mm-hmm.
75 people, little families, listening to an artist in a really cool graffiti room. We've done a business workshop and a few other things currently right now. And everybody that comes into the center is just excited. We have a lot of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We're still organizing the business aspect as well as the organizational side of the nonprofit. And we're still getting done with construction. We took all this project on as single dads. I have no construction experience, but that's kind of been the funnest part of the project.
Mm-hmm.
Is taking a defunct property that was a pipe welder for 20 years and turning that into something beautiful. And
mm-hmm.
people love it. Right now, we just brought on Channel 4 News as a media partner. They've asked us to go do potentially graffiti all along their stairwells inside their building. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
But apart from little small opportunities to tell the world about it, it's pretty much a secret still.
Mm-hmm.
People have seen pictures from Facebook from these graffiti walls, and everybody wonders what this place is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people want to be part of it, which is kind of unique, but it's a place that I can pretty much give. I feel that my dream job will be on the other side of this opportunity, and that's what I got clear with my son, is I want to spend time with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be divided. I just basically created the dream job.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
As we're there at my office in Sandy, you know, we can go out into this gym that we have, and you know, we play together on occasion, but you know, within the next month or two, we'll have 30 or 40 little kids in there, and some of them we dressed up as superheroes, just like Chase. So
awesome.
It's really fun.
For the graffiti, do you have little kids do the graffiti, or do you...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Have you found...
I love graffiti. It's such a unique art medium.
Mm-hmm.
And every person, whether this conservative person, grandma that comes into the room, or even like my little son, when he holds up an aerosol can and sprays something, it's expression, it's art. So these graffiti artists that have come in, I've loved meeting every single one of them. A group named 730 came in and did quite a bit of art, hundreds of hours. We have another master artist, his name is Kair, he's there painting right now. And these artists, they want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So we intend on doing workshops for families to paint graffiti.
That's awesome.
It will
that's
be
very cool.
Epic. So in essence, we're creating a graffiti school, but my intention is to utilize these wonderful talents that these kids have and help them grow them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that if people knew what they could do on these walls, like they'd have them over to their business and they'd put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
They make live art and they can paint anything. So a lot of them have done their tags, their names. I love hearing their stories behind them. And then some of these guys have come in and it's amazing, like the art that they create
mm-hmm.
in this legal wall with a lift they're all excited about from Diamond Rental and
mm-hmm.
sometimes free paint. And so we want to support these paint redesigns that we do every quarter. We basically want to create graffiti teams that can do collaborative projects together
mm-hmm.
and paint things. For Christmas, we want to have these graffiti artists. They love this idea, but we wanted to get a whole bunch of furniture from a company that's in our complex. They rent furniture, but these guys would come and actually paint beautiful little designs for girls and boys and give them away to kids that are needy for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be able to do a lot of unique production pieces of art like that. And we'd like to have a school that focuses on many kinds of art, but graffiti for me is one of them. It's awesome.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how is the best way for people to get involved in
awesome.
Kid Labs?
You'd want to send me an email. That would be the best way, so we don't lose you. Right now we've got a flood of artists that want to come in and rap wars and graffiti, and basically, we've got some bebop wars, we're going to do some breakdance wars, and so I don't want to lose people that want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
What would help me right now is corporations that want to sponsor different events
mm-hmm.
by either putting their name on the wall, or even better, bringing their team and doing what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
You'd send me an email at john, J-O-H-N, at kidlabs, K-I-D-L-A-B-S, kidlabs.org or look up Kid Labs on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to find us right now. As we get done with this construction project, which has taken 4 months, we want to set up our webpage, all of our media. So we're really interested in any corporations that want to support innovation and kids and mm-hmm. helping out single moms and veterans and homeless. Let us support us by being what you're good at. We'd love to make this into a community center that community responds to support, and we can duplicate it that way. Because in my opinion and everybody's opinion that comes down, people want to be involved, just like the listeners. Mm-hmm. And businesses want to be part of community, and these centers are needed everywhere. People need to experience art.
The Kid Labs is located at 214 West Cottage Drive in Sandy, just a few blocks north of the 90th South exit on I-15. For more information on the organization, visit them at facebook.com/thelabkidlabs. Once again, thank you for listening to Soundways from the Underground, and for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to fire up your interwebs at slugmag.com. The end of 2013 is coming soon, and we're going to be having another one of our awesome panel discussions, this time to talk about our favorite local albums that came out this year. We'd like to hear what your favorites are this year as well. You can either email us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line, of course, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hit us up with a suggestion. We just might play it on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design by T. Doan and technical design by Kate Colgan. Next week, be sure to join us for that 2013 Local Music Roundtable. Thanks for listening.